that young anymore. I just turned 30, but basically, why you gotta say it like that? Yeah. Why you gotta say it like that?
I'm not calling you old or anything like that, but that's exactly why, like, I love what you do because of that specific way. Like, you're able to put yourself in their shoes.
But it's also because he is a child at heart. he's a grown child. It.
Welcome everyone to the Bound Together podcast. This is episode 7, and today we have two very special people with me. Our producer AJ and my co-host Andre.
The whole purpose of today is to make it a little bit different. We're going to focus it on speaking for our experiences of being a young person that is active at church, because I feel like there's a lot of young people that maybe haven't gotten the opportunity yet, or sometimes they don't know if they want to work for the church. So to start, I think we're going to begin by giving a little bit of a background story for each of us and the way that we decided to be involved and how long it's been, our age, all that kind of information. And we'll start with AJ.
Yeah, so I'm 19. This is my first year as an elder and as a Sabbath school teacher. About 2.5 years ago is when I really started getting more involved in the church, or coming to church with a good attitude, at least. But I think once that started, you know, I was looking for a church because I grew up in Worcester Airport Church, and I was looking for a good group of youth. So, you know, I'm exploring, going, visiting different churches. I come to Main Street, and I find a little good group, and I just started hanging with them, and I feel like the people really took me and was like, started getting me more involved. Like, hey, you want to do this? Which seemed like a lot at first. Like, a little pushy, but, you know, that got me into, you know, what I do now. You know, I do Pathfinders, help around, you know, stuff with AY. And like I said, now I'm an elder and Sabbath school teacher, and I love it.
Okay, from my end, I'm not that young anymore. I just turned 30. But basically, why you gotta say it like that? Yeah. Why you gotta say it like that? I'm just kidding. I know. I'm getting up there in age. But I feel like it's been a while since I started. I think I really got involved when I was around 15. And then, like, I used to go to the Main Street Church and in Worcester, and I became the Pathfinder director at around 16 years of age, and I was director until about, I was almost 20, so like 19-ish. And I mean, ever since I could remember, I've been doing so many things for church. I used to be a teacher for the Sabbath school. I've been one of the counters for the offerings. I've been a youth director. I've been Pathfinder director multiple times, and I've been trying to avoid Pathfinders, but somehow I always get dragged back into Pathfinders. And right now I'm currently the youth director for Leominster. This is my second time, and yeah, it's been a while, but I enjoy it.
Wow, that's crazy. 16 years old as a Pathfinder
director. I was gonna say,
that's nuts.
I was the youngest director back in the day. I don't know if somebody dethroned
that's me. Crazy.
You're young with experience, which is crazy.
Yeah. Dang. Well, I guess my resume is nothing compared to these two, but I'm 24 years old. I grew up in the SDA church, but from when I was I'll say 17, because I was still going to church. From when I was 17 to last year, so 23, I wasn't in church, so I never really participated much, obviously, but right now I am the assistant director for the AV, and obviously helping out with Pathfinders, helping out with the youth department. I mean, I kind of just try to keep myself involved as much as I can. I'm technically a Sabbath school teacher, even though Pablo does every single week, so I apologize for that, Pablo, but I'm just really busy when it comes to the sound, especially I feel like I'm there like at least 2 or 3 times a month. So I've been doing that a lot. And then obviously the Bound Together podcast, which I think obviously is probably the biggest calling that we've had this last year. But yeah, I mean, growing up, I was obviously a pathfinder, an adventurer, you know, a deacon in the church, you know. I never really got into praising, but now I'm starting to do that too. We're starting a choir at church, and I am being forced as a member of that. So,
You're in that.
You're held captive. I don't think I'm a great singer, but at least I can defend myself, I guess.
Do the intro right now.
Putting you on the spot.
The Bound Together. I think now I'm trying to involve myself more, especially because when, you know, I was a teenager, there weren't a lot of people my age that were involved in the church. And plus, I think this kind of leads to our like first question, but I think obviously involving yourself in the church gets you more committed, obviously, into like, you know, the church life and trying to be a disciple of God.
Yeah, I think it's really important to touch on that, because the first question is, why is it important for young people to get involved at church? And I think by being involved, you have a purpose. And I think, for example, from my experience, it was a decisive moment whether I stayed at church or not was when I was about AJ's age, because I had been always an active member. That kept me occupied in church, where sadly most of the people that were at the same age group made other decisions because they chose to get busy with school and with other stuff in life. And I mean, everybody has their free will, I guess, but I can definitely say, at least from my perspective, I don't know if you guys can share your points of view, I think it's really important for somebody to be active, an active member, because once you're active, you become part of the community and then all these other stuff. But I think that was a decisive moment, and it's just something that created a lot of positive and nice memories where it made me feel like I was welcome and this is my home. And for anybody that's listening, that you're on the younger side, get involved. You'll see the difference, and it will be the decisive moment when you get to that point where you have to choose your pathway, whether you want to become a professional and that kind of stuff, and you would kind of lean more into God stuff than maybe the world stuff that has to offer, like all the parties and all that stuff. That is a healthy and nice alternative, and I think in my perspective, that was my path. I chose that, and it ended up working out because I never ended up leaving the church because I was always occupied at the church.
Let's see it from the opposite perspective of why I love church. And it was for the complete opposite reason of that. Like I said, I grew up in the church, but I was never like a consistent, like I obviously was going to church, but I was never like involving myself. Granted, I did Pathfinders and stuff like that, but mostly because like my parents and stuff like that. I remember every single time I had to go up on like the pulpit, I was like, this is so annoying. Like that was my attitude when it came to doing anything at church. And I'm not going to lie to you. Like that's kind of how I was. I remember for Sociale Jovenes too. Like if I like had to participate, I was like, oh, like they're forcing me to do this again and stuff like that. But it was because I wasn't an active part of like the church, you know. I wasn't doing this because I wanted to do it. Like it wasn't my will. It was because like my parents wanted me to do it.
Yeah.
So I think seeing it from the opposite side of Andre is, you know, that's the reason why I left church, is because I didn't involve myself, you know. And I see that obviously now, you know, 5 or 6 years later.
Yeah.
And look at you now. You're the host of the podcast. you can't get more active than that.
Right.
Yeah. Both of y'all made a good point. Like the importance of community, the importance of having people around you to strengthen you, right? And I think that's something that the church can lack at times, which is discipleship, which is the following up on, you know, like getting to know somebody, you know, and really guiding them to have a close relationship with Christ. Like, involving yourself in, you know, church activities and all that is great, but if there's no, if you don't click with anybody, then it's hard to stay in it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, especially with the youth, now I'm kind of speaking to the older generation, you know, to teach the youth and guide them, you know, and even amongst the youth to have that connection, just push each other, bring each other closer to Christ, follow up with each other, be there for each other, and, you know, find somebody, like, if you're iffy about joining an activity or something, hey, you want to do this with me? And, like, one of my favorite verses is Proverbs 17:17, right? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity, right? So it's like, in times of struggle, right, you got somebody to lean on. You know, you got a friend that loves you, that's going to push you. And especially with, like, Bible studies, right? It's not all about teaching them about the Bible. Like, even Jesus says, by this you'll know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So I think when we have that click, when we have that connection, then we can push each other to get more involved and stay in the church. Well, Wency told me something. Oh, shout out Wency. He told me, like, when I started as an elder this year, he was like, you know, elders, they do a lot of the work, get none of the credit, and get blamed for all the bad things. So, you know, talking about, like, staying away from, like, the public eye, that can stray some of us away, but the importance is, like, you've got to have that mindset. Like, you know what, I'm going to go work for Christ. I'm going to go join this community and do the best that I can.
And it's funny you mentioned about being an elder, because I have refused to be an elder already 3 times. And I know it's God's knocking on my door, but, like, you know, sometimes I end up being like Jonas, where, like, God tells me to go this way, I go that way.
Is that why you want me to transfer?
Exactly, exactly. You can transfer, yeah. Always take the opportunity to get you to transfer, you know?
Oh, man. Oh, I won't be an elder, but I know someone who will.
Oh, my. Exactly.
Yeah, I should have seen this dude the last time I preached.
Tell the story.
All right. So I'm preaching, what is it, not this past hour, but the one before, and I finished shaking people's hands. They came to visit. As I'm shaking people's hands, this dude comes behind with his iPad and just says, transfer to Lemon Street. Like, he said he was going to do it while I'm preaching.
He literally had it set up.
I was this close.
He had it on his iPad set up.
Oh, and then I was just staring at him, and he wouldn't look at me. And I was just, like, trying to get his attention, but he's like, he's not paying attention to me.
You guys
and then I tried looking at Michelle to see if she could look at me. But sadly, they didn't look at me. So
Michelle's
like,
no, good.
I'll wait. I'm dead.
Would you have laughed if you said
that? Yeah, I would have. Bro, I would have paused. Like,
I wish you
stop preaching
I
at all.
You didn't know.
Next time.
Oh no!
I wish you did it.
Now, next time you're preaching, you're gonna be avoiding.
That's yeah, really yeah. Funny. That's hilarious. That's honestly, all the way to in me. The back. Friendship, like you said, discipleship.
Mm.
I think this is kind of like goes into like the next question, which is obviously what are practical ways for the youth to serve in their local church. And one thing that I've seen is obviously like kind of approaching it how I would approach like a friendship. Like obviously like I do because I care and like love like, you know, my friends from church and, you know, obviously like the families that I grew up with and stuff like that. So that's kind of one thing that's always helped me in the past, especially like Andre said, whenever he joined, like when he came to Leominster, people welcomed him with open arms. Same thing when I came back from church. I came back from the church that obviously I grew up with, and everyone pretty much didn't like what I had done like outside of church, and I never got judged for it once.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of one thing that always helped me out with that.
Yeah. Talking about, you know, practical ways to get involved, you know, doing something like this that, you know, we enjoy, that we love, you know. Like you said, connecting with people, you know, just laughing, talking about God, you know, I think that definitely helps. I remember I was talking to one of my friends at church, you know, trying to get him involved too. And was just asking him, like, what do you like? You know, what are you interested in? And besides, you know, take church out of the equation. Like, what do you like? Do you like technology? Do you like games? Do you like organizing this or that? And it, just to get him thinking and then ask him, like, okay, how can you use that and use it to the benefit of the church and for yourself as well and for your relationship with God? So it's, you know, it doesn't have to be a burden, like, oh, I've got to get active.
Mm-hmm.
It's what has God placed in your heart for you to take that and apply it to your ministry or your job in church.
Right. Yeah.
And I think it's also adding on to that is making sure that you're willing to push yourself to be uncomfortable. Because, for example, the practical ways that I did it, I kind of went head on. And, for example, I was terrible at public speaking. I'm not, like, the best by any means, but I can tell you I've developed my public speaking. I've developed the ability to go up in front of an entire church of, like, 200 people.
Yeah.
And talk in front of them. Before, you should see me, that, like, I gave that on my last sermon, like, the first time I ever gave my first sermon. It was supposed to be 15 minutes out of, like, a whole period, and I was supposed to start it, and I think I did 30 seconds, and then I was like, all right, guys, and then I forgot to pray, I forgot to do anything. I literally just said three words, it was 30 seconds, and then I'm leaving, and then I was like, all right, cool, and then, like, people were just looking at me like, stop, what are you doing? But, like, seeing that transformation is completely different, and I can tell you it's because I accepted the challenge of putting myself in uncomfortable situations.
Mm-hmm.
For example, for public speaking, for being the director of Pathfinders and going all the way to Wisconsin and being the director, it was nerve-wracking because you have, like, what, I had, like, 10 staff and about 30 Pathfinders. So we were a giant group, and I'm the only person that's in charge, and everybody's looking at me for leadership, and I'm, like, 17. So that kind of forces you to, like, mature. But at the end, like, I see those skills that transferred from church into my professional life.
Yeah.
And I see it that it's just, like, the biggest blessing you could have done, and it's because I challenged myself. I put myself in situations where if God called me to do something, and again, this is going against what I said about being an elder, because I've said no so many times, but I've accepted the challenge in so many other ways, and I can tell you it made me be a better person. And I can tell you today, like, the fact that I'm doing this podcast tells you how much I've grown, because, like, I would have never, ever dreamt of talking publicly and putting myself out there for random people to listen to you on the internet. Shout out to the person in Japan that listens to us. But, you know, it's stuff like that, that you're like if I didn't take that chance at the beginning, like, I would have not developed who I am today. And I can tell you now that I've matured and I'm in my 30s, you can see how me taking those tiny little leaps, and now it's something completely different. But God calls you, and I think that is the message to the young people, is accept those tiny little things that you get asked to do. For example, like, when we do the Bound Together, I Would Like to Know, and they have commercials, like, accepting those tiny little commercials, or accepting to pray through the Bienvenida or something like that. That goes a long way in the long term if you just keep saying yes to the things that God tells you to do, you know?
Yeah. Talking about calling, I remember when it was in November, when they texted me or called me if I wanted to be an elder. Mm-hmm. And I go downstairs, I ask my dad, I'm like, what does an elder do? And he looks at me like, why? I'm like, oh, I just want to know. And he tells me, you know, some of the things, well, I did direct this, whatever. And then he's like, why are you asking? I was like, oh, because they asked me if I want to be an elder. And he looked at me like, what? I was like, yeah, is that, like, a big thing? And he's like, yeah, that's a big privilege, a great responsibility. Mm-hmm. So it's like, at the time, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. But, you know, to hear that from my dad, and, you know, I asked him, I was like, do you think I'm ready? And he was like, you know what? Nobody's ever really ready.
Exactly.
He was like, God, there's a saying, and he told me this, he was like, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Mm-hmm. So he'll call you, and as you move on, as you, you know, do, you know, as you're confused, but God is going to guide you into what you need to do next. You're going to say, okay, you've reached this step. I'm going to guide you into the next step. Like, you may be confused. Maybe you may be worried at even starting, but God called you for a reason.
Yeah. Well, honestly, that's deep. And to be honest, I like going into that, I think you bringing that up, one thing hit me is that I think that's the reason why God put this podcast for me, to like listen to conversations like today. Like obviously even with Pastor Kevin, with you, like you always learn from like the tiniest details from listening to someone's testimony or obviously stories and stuff like that. So yeah.
And I just want to give a shout out to you because, for example, I've seen the transformation. Like the last podcast when we recorded with Pastor Kevin, like you did such an amazing job. And I'm like, I can see the transformation of you. And again, it's not that I'm not saying you did a bad job on the first podcast, but I can tell you, like, I can see the transformation happening where like you're getting good at being the host.
Yeah. I mean, granted, it's different though, because if you ask me to go on the pulpit and say something, I'm going to get nervous. Like, don't get me wrong, I'll do it, but I'll be like, bienvenidos.
Well, that's when, you know, you see like what's God's calling for you. What kind of gift has he given you? You know,
no, given you for sure. This
ministry
to
develop. And,
you know. No, and like, obviously, like, I like this because like, there's nobody there's no pressure to mess up. Like, granted, like, I can mess up right now and
just cut it.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas, like, if I mess up at church, granted, I know, like, I know people will just, like, laugh and, like, I won't, like, I'll probably get, like, a little embarrassed, but it won't be, like, that big of a deal. I think one thing that I've been trying to do lately is speaking more Spanish at church. So even regardless, like, if it's with, like, any member of the church, I'm going to try to speak to you in Spanish now. Unless it's, like, someone my age, because, like, I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to speak to you in Spanish. But lately, I don't know if Anita's caught...
She has.
I don't know if she has said this, but every single time she speaks to me in English now, I answer her in Spanish because I'm just trying to talk to her a little bit more.
That's one thing I struggle with, too.
Yeah.
When they ask me to be an elder, it's like, you mean I have to talk to these people in Spanish? Like, I can't... I can understand them, but, you know, it's tough. But
how's that been?
Well, like, you know, talking about how you've improved, I can say, you know, by putting, or God putting me in tough situations definitely pushed me. Like, I remember there was one day that some lady was sitting next to me, and there was a guy visiting in church, and the lady came over to me to tell me, like, hey, there's something weird in this dude's pocket, and it looked dangerous, in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to respond to this lady in Spanish.
So that the guy doesn't understand.
Yeah, well, because I look over, I see it, you know, it wasn't anything crazy. But in that moment, I was like, well, this is what being an elder is. They've come to me with dangerous
things. But what's it?
It looked like, you know, those things that carry cigars, kind of. It was like a long metal
thing. Okay, so like a cigar case, kind of.
Kind of, yeah. And it was like sticking out of his pocket, but I think she thought it was a knife or something.
All right.
So she comes to me, and there's something weird in that guy's pocket, and I see it. Like, I don't know what it is. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, what do I do? So now I have to stand up, and I go talk to the primer anciano. I'm like, can I talk to you? So then I talk to him, and I have to talk to him in Spanish. And then he talks to me, and then he goes and talks to the dude, comes back. Nothing's crazy. It's like, okay, good. Go back to the lady. Tell her everything's okay in Spanish. And then I'm just sitting there like, that really happened.
Yeah.
You know? And so those are the things like, whoa, God, you're really pushing me today. But God sees you through.
So. No, 100%. And granted, I think this is kind of, granted, it's more of a challenge for us, but you guys are actually growing into like, always speaking Spanish with your parents. Granted, my dad speaks English, so I speak more English with him than I do. Obviously, my mom doesn't speak Spanish. I mean, my mom doesn't speak English. So, whereas, like, I think both of your parents just speak Spanish, right?
Yeah, and I mean, yeah. I came to this country when I was 7. Right. So, like, I already had a good base. And my brother, same thing. He was, like, 9. So, I think we had a good base in Spanish. So, then we continued to always have it. And I think the Main Street Church fostered a place where we would use our Spanish. And I, for example, to me, when I moved to Leominster, I started to learn the Bible in English. So, for, like, all my knowledge that I have from the Bible for the most of my life, it's in Spanish. So then, like, don't be asking me questions about the Bible in English, because I'm going to struggle. But if you ask me in Spanish, I'll be like, yeah, this is this. And then when I'm reading the Bible now, and again, this is just a parenthesis to the conversation, I'm just like, this is weird. Right. Because, like, the names change, and, like, like, oh, this is who this is. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, using Spanish is definitely also another tool that I developed because I went to a Spanish church.
Right. Well, I think obviously, like, language barriers kind of a challenge that people are our age faces. And granted, like, I went to, like, a Spanish church my entire life, but I know for a fact I was not speaking Spanish. Like, I would obviously, like, say hi to, like, members and stuff like that, but, like, every single time we would do a program, okay, we're doing the program in English. Or, like, even now, like, think about all of our, like, think about all of our Sour the Hovens.
Yeah.
It's bilingual.
It's bilingual, like, but, obviously. But we use use more English than Spanish and stuff like that. So it's definitely, like, a challenge where, like, if we go upstairs, yeah, I can speak English, but granted, it's more, like, acceptable speaking in Spanish. So I think, obviously, that's a challenge that you know, I always face with going to Spanish church.
Yeah.
And then,
and to speak to that, I think it's difficult. We were having this conversation with my brother, like, with Pablo, and he was saying, like, I wish I can have a English church with the flavoring, with the sazón of the Hispanics church. Because, like, you grew up getting so used to it, and then when you, and again, I'm not throwing shade to any of the English-speaking churches, but it's just a completely different experience once you go to the Spanish one versus, like, the English one.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of what we're trying to foster. Mm-hmm. And I love that about Leominster, that they give us the creative freedom, for example, for us to do something like the podcast in English,
right,
having the Sábado de Jóvenes to be mostly in English,
mm-hmm,
and even the Sociedad de Jóvenes with Bound. Yeah. I get the opportunity, and I spoke about this, and they're like, yeah, you can do English and Spanish. So then I always try to make it so that one program's in English, one program's in Spanish. And then you have the I Would Like to Know, same thing, is very bilingual.
Right.
And then, like, Sábado de Jóvenes, all that stuff. So I think it's creating, we're trying to build something special,
mm-hmm,
in the sense that we're trying to make it so that we get the young people hooked.
Right.
Because we're trying to create that that thing that I was talking with Pablo, which is, like, having that church that is in English, but you have that flavor of being Hispanic. We don't forget our roots, and I think that that's what makes it special. And I think it's really difficult once you go to another church, once you get used to that way of worshiping, right, I guess. Yeah.
No, and, like, that's why, great, and not only the connections that I have with this church, but that's why I've always liked RCC. Because it's, like you said, like, it's, granted, it's different because they obviously don't do Escuela Sabatica and stuff like that, but they still do a lot of other stuff that they've brought over from Leominster, which they do a lot of community service.
And that's,
you know, they do, obviously, their praise team has always been special from when I obviously first stepped into Leominster as a child.
Hmm.
And they bring, like, that Spanish flavor to it sometimes too. I mean, it's in English, but obviously that's why I've always loved that church. But,
and I think that's interesting to look at, and, mm-hmm, and you could also see it from the other perspective. Like, for example, Lighthouse. That's why I was so excited, mm-hmm, when we got to interview. Well, we. I mean, it was Gabe. Gabe got to interview Pastor Kevin,
mm-hmm,
because I think those are the type of models that we need to try to. You know, you still have to have the core, which is God,
right,
but, like, make the changes to make it interesting for the young people.
Exactly.
And they have a success rate because you can see it. I don't know about RCC, but I'm pretty sure it's similar. But the with Lighthouse Church, he told us, Pastor Kevin told us, it's about 75 to 80% 30 years or younger.
Yeah.
Seriously?
That is a success rate that you don't see in other churches, and sadly our churches are dying because we're neglecting the needs of the younger generations, which are going to replace the older generations eventually.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
And that's sad, but we need to really work hard towards that, and I think part of that is connecting back to what we're talking about in the podcast, which is being an active member as a young person is so important.
Right. No, 100%. And granted, I think that's part of the challenge that, you know, people our age face is that, like you said, there's so many lost generations that have obviously left the church that's hard to bring back and connect with, you know. That's why I find it so special, like people like, obviously, like you and Pablo, especially Pablo. Pablo's a little bit older and he connects so well with people that are almost 20 years younger than him.
Well, I mean, and I would add, he's laughing behind the camera.
Sorry.
The reason why it's that.
I'm not calling you old or anything like that, but that's exactly why, like, I love what you do because of that specific way. Like, you're able to put yourself in their shoes.
But it's also because he is a child at heart. he's a grown child. All
right.
You can say it's a gift from God.
No, it is. And literally, the Bible tells us we have to be like children.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's what the Bible is referring to, what Jesus was trying to refer to with when he was talking to the Pharisees and even his own disciples. He was telling them, if you want to make it to heaven, you have to have the heart of a child. Yeah. And I think that that's part of what one of the reasons why, one of the things that makes my brother incredible, and it's having the heart of a child, and then you can connect with the kids.
Yeah, he connects really well with them, honestly.
You can add it on there from what you guys are saying, but I think one of the things that I've realized is that a lot of adults forget that church is supposed to be fun as well.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's something that I've been enjoying lately about reading my Bible. I never thought that the Bible could be fun, but if you literally read it with an open heart, you start to enjoy it. And that joy is what I want to spread to young people. It's like the church is not supposed to be boring. God is not boring. Yeah. And you kind of have to mix it with fun things. So I'm like, church is not boring. God is not boring. But older people, for some reason, make it boring. Mm. And that's not how religion is supposed to be. Or like, your relationship with God is not supposed to be boring.
Yep.
Yeah.
Be passionate about it. That way you can get more involved passionately.
Right. That's what I mean, like overcoming, kind of like you said, where you have to step outside of that barrier that, you know, the SGA church has always had. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, you know, podcasts, you know, stuff like this where you can relate to obviously the younger generation and stuff like that. And obviously, like, I was going to say this before, but obviously we got off topic. But think about what Paul was doing with Pathfinders. Granted, like, when I was a Pathfinder, same thing with you guys, we never did Legos on Earth. We never did stuff like this. But stuff like that, that's helping, like, you know, people like Anthony and, like, Rafa and, obviously, Christopher and the girls connect well with, obviously, the church and have that good image with church because he's relating to them.
Yep.
Like, granted, like, growing up, like, in Pathfinders, like, I always did, like, the marching and, like, you know, like, obviously, like, wood making and like obviously stuff like that, like, whereas like Paulo said, he's making church fun, which is something that I wish I had and stuff like that.
And I think that leads perfectly into the next question, which is, what challenges do young people face when they're trying to get involved?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's they get shut down from an early age, and they're told you have to have reverencia and you have to do it this way and you have to do it that way. And it's exactly what Pablo was saying. It's like, God is fun. God has a sense of humor, I like to believe. And he's a fun God. So we don't have to make church about the don'ts and inject it with things. And I think that that's part of the creativity where you can see like probably injecting it with Pathfinders, mm-hmm. or when he's helping out with the socials and we right. do the Bound Together Olympics.
Right.
That was pretty
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
Or fun. Even March Madness was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, you end up leaving knowing more about the Bible because right. you read it in a different lens. And I think that that's exactly the challenges that you need to overcome. But I will say the warning, I didn't learn this until I was mature enough. But sometimes as a young person, you try to force
yeah.
the change into church. And that should never be the case. Yep. You should never do everything by force. Even though you can be right, doing it the wrong way, that's what I learned.
Okay. You talk about, you know, elder and stuff like that. You know, I've definitely dealt with that already. But like you said, as much as you try, you know, some things you just can't force. And you've just got to be patient. And I think that's some things that, you know, or an attribute that youth really have to get used to, being patient. And although you want change, you want to do this and that, be patient. Present your ideas. You know, don't think that it'll never change, but just keep praying, keep asking God for guidance, and do what you can. Yeah, exactly.
God is in control in the end.
Exactly.
How do you see you guys balancing, you know, your church involvement with, obviously this is more for AJ, school, you know, extracurricular activities and stuff like that, whereas Andre is an adult and he's got an actual job and obviously he's got actual responsibilities.
Oh, wait, actual? Well, I see. I see how it is.
No, you have school. That's what I mean. I'm in the same boat as you.
Don't take
offense to that. I'm just saying, Andre
yeah.
is graduated. He's got a job. He's got.
You got a life.
He's got like a big boy adult life now. You know, whereas you know we're a couple steps behind.
Just a couple, yeah.
Just a couple.
Yeah.
But like even some like, let's go from the student perspective first.
Yeah. So I definitely at times find myself overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
You can find yourself stressed out. But I think, you know, you talk about how do you make time for God is you have to make time for God and He'll make time for everything else. So that's my favorite verse is seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. All those needs, everything that, you know, you desire that align with God's will, He'll give you those things if you seek Him first. So, you know, I wake up, I pray, you know, have my devotional, make sure that I'm connected with God so that He can guide me through everything else. And the times that I do get stressed is because I forget that God is with me. I forget that He's guiding me, that He's helping me through those challenges. And, you know, with extracurriculars and school and stuff like that, work, whatever it is, it can get tough. But you just got to remember that God doesn't leave you alone. Right. He's there. He's waiting for you. And it's okay to pause. You know, it's okay to take a break. You know, I've had to take breaks myself and be like, whoa, you know, I need to take a day off to have a normal day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it can get hectic. And, you know, I find myself lacking in my reading or whatever it may be in my devotion. And when that happens, I see myself getting more stressed. So it's like, wait, let me take a step back and let me reconnect. And it's always made things better. So
yeah. I can speak to, again, I think I'm in a different point in my life where I have more maturity. And I remember being in your age and being active. And I can tell you that I had the same approach, but it got to the point where I burned myself out.
Yeah.
So you need to understand that there is balance in there and that not attacking on more and more and more and more will take a toll on you. Right now you're young, you can do it, you can handle mm-hmm. it, but it will come to the point where you will burn yourself out. So my suggestion is, it's in order for you to find balance, And again, after you think, hey, life is going to change for the better once I graduate with school, guess what? It doesn't. It becomes harder because now you have to balance stuff. The only good thing is you don't have homework, but when you get home, you can like vegetate in the couch. But it gets to the point where you're an adult, but now you have bills, you have all these other stuff, and you have stuff that starts to tack on. If you don't give yourself time to rest, and I think that's the whole point of the Sabbath, it's for you to rest. And sometimes I can tell you, sometimes I finish a Sabbath. Like, for example, last Saturday, I finished the Sabbath more exhausted than what I feel exhaustion from my day job. Mm-hmm. Like 40 hours does not compare to how much exhaustion I feel from pouring myself into the church, which again, I do it with much love and I do it for God. Like, I don't care about the glory. I don't want to hear that, oh, you're doing an amazing job, this and that. That's fine. You guys can think it. And hopefully I'm doing a good job, but this is not for my glory. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. But that being said, it's about the quality. And I see when you're talking about tithes and offerings, I feel like the offering section includes the time that you're giving to God. Mm. And when you give to God, you're supposed to give the best to Him. Meaning, give Him the best that you can without burning yourself out, because then you're not being efficient and you're not giving Him the best. So to me, it's understanding that you need to really make time for you to rest, and it's okay for you to say no. And God mm-hmm. wants you to find that balance, because it's not all about being active and being active yeah. and being active and taking on and taking on and taking on, you know?
Yeah. You made a good point right at the end. Like, you don't have to say yes to everything.
Exactly.
You can say no. You know, not every open door is a God door. You know, just because there's an opportunity there doesn't mean that God wants you to take that on. It might be too early.
Let's finish it off. I think one final question for the both of you. Yeah. If you had one piece of advice for a young person that's trying to get more involved in the church, what would you say?
Trust in God's plan.
Trust in God's plan.
Just go for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might not feel ready, but He's going to make you ready. So
amen.
Do what you love, do what you feel called to do, and God's going to guide you. Just trust in that.
Yeah. Okay. And I would say the same thing as him, yeah. but I would add that not only is he going to guide you, but he's going to develop you, yep. and he's going to grow you, and you're going to become a completely different person. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be afraid that if you're good enough or if you have the talent for that, just accept the challenge, and he's going to develop you in such a way that you're not going to recognize who you have become. In a good way, yeah. not in a bad right. way, exactly. because Satan is trying to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And if it's either you give your life to God, or you're going to give Satan the opportunity to wreck your life.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people have the blessing that Gabe has had, or my brother has had, that they had the second opportunity to come back to Christ.
Mm. No, for sure.
A lot of people do not have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So if you have the opportunity now, give your life to Christ.
Amen.
And you will see how he's going to bless you beyond everything that you could ever imagine. Amen. And that's pretty much all I have to say to young people.
Nice. Okay. I think with that, I think we're going to finish. But obviously, like, if you guys have any questions, if you're young and, you know, you want to get more involved, you can always ask any of us at...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, reach out. You know,
reach out. No, YouTube, Instagram...
You can go to our website, put in website. The questions, you know,
exactly.
we'd like to know.
Right.
Shameless plug to our other show.
BoundTogether.ay@gmail.com if you guys have any questions.
Exactly.
And even YouTube, you know, comments if you guys want to comment.
Only good comments. I will block you.
No, but like still, like if you like, if you have any questions, granted, we have a great team that, you know, we can get an elder with you or like yeah. even one of us where... If you like the way AJ speaks, you know, I'll hit up AJ. Hey, AJ's only got some questions for you. So, you know, just if you have anything, just let us know. And, you know, we're always here for you guys too. So we thank you guys as an audience for always listening, for always tuning in, for always commenting, for always liking. And, yeah, we hope you have a good one.
Take care. Bye, guys.
Bye.